March 24th, it's a dismal Saturday, and we begin.
Got coffee in the morning, and that's how you start a podcast, right?
Yeah, morning for some of us. Some of us have been awake for hours.
Yeah, but I didn't have coffee yet, so it's still the morning.
You went that long without coffee?
Brutal, I know.
Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. You know, the headache's subsiding now.
That's good. Yeah, you gotta get the caffeine withdrawals gone.
Yeah.
So you don't have to work today, huh?
Nope.
Bastard.
Nope. Yeah, I get to just stay home and eat shit and drink booze.
Eat shit and die. You know what's going to happen to you, though? That's not going to happen to me. You're missing 2 days on your next paycheck. So.
Well, technically, I'm always missing 2 days on my paycheck, so I'm not so much missing them as just getting some time off.
They're just not there, ever. Yeah. Yep, I'm still trying to figure out what we're doing for Easter, because they're coming around telling us we're trying to get the plant to close down Sunday, which to me means you will be working Sunday, because they're not saying the plant will be closed Sunday.
Even when they say the plant will be closed Sunday, sometimes it opens.
Yeah.
So, it depends. It depends on if it is a holiday, then I'm pretty sure they really will give it to us, because they usually do that.
Mm.
But it depends on how they consider it. There's some that they don't care so much about, and some that they really enforce. And it's pretty religious down here, so Easter might be important enough.
Well, we're gonna find out, and I don't really care either way. Get the day off; it's some free time, and they won't pay you for it, though.
No.
I was told I was going to get paid for it, which was okay. But now, if I have the option, I'm going to work it.
You get paid holidays, but not if it's on a Sunday.
Yeah, fuckers. It's always on a Sunday.
You know you have a floating holiday, too.
I can already use that, can't I? I think I can.
No idea.
Yeah.
You might be able to.
I think I can after I go through this holiday, because this is what Vanessa told me yesterday. She's the shift lead. She's like a manager. She told me that Black Friday used to be a paid day off, but now we work that day, and it's become a floating holiday, so I can use that whenever I want and get a paid day off.
Yep, yeah. So you could still use it for Black Friday if you felt so inclined, but...
You'd have to put in for it pretty early, though.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's a three-day holiday. I might only get paid for one, but if I use it on a Friday, I get Saturday and Sunday as well.
You can do it on a Monday as well.
And get that weekend.
You can actually do just a half day. You can take a half day and get paid for the weekend.
No shit.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Just a future reference there, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to need to get some time to go see the old man eventually.
Yeah. But we could do that. You could time your, like, a half day on a Friday with one of my weekends off, and then we could swing down and swing back.
Check. Yeah, I like that. And if we do that, I assume we're taking the 370.
I don't know, because we got Mila.
Oh, true.
I don't know how she'll do with that, because she likes cuddling.
Yeah.
So the truck's kind of better for that. But the 370 has less miles on it, so, you know, it's a...
Yeah.
I got good insurance.
Could do the jet, too.
Yeah.
She could cuddle up there.
Yeah, there's a little room in there.
Yeah.
The 370 is just a little tight, and I'm worried she'll hit the shifter, because it's right there.
Yeah. I've got insurance.
Well, I got really good insurance for Nationwide.
So if we crash the car, because the dog's acting crazy?
No. If the truck breaks down, I got like a 1,000-mile towing.
Okay,
yeah,
all right, I'm with you. I've got roadside on mine, too, so.
I asked them how much it was. Normally, I just go for the minimum on insurance, but it was like $7 for 6 months, and I was like, check.
Yeah, you know what's really good to have is the rental car reimbursement.
I don't know nothing about it.
Yeah. Well, when I crashed the Taurus, I had rental car reimbursement, and they gave me a rental car for like a week, and I didn't pay a dime of it.
No shit.
That car was nicer than the car I crashed.
Yeah.
No
what
joke.
What was the rental car?
It was an Altima. Ooh. Yeah, I think it was an Altima. Whatever it is, they do the last year's model constantly.
Uh-huh.
So it had the backup cameras and the Bluetooth and everything. Just the whole infotainment system. It was... Sweet.
Versus an 09 Taurus.
Yep. Yep. So I was pretty happy about that. I'm like, damn, I need to crash my car more.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Just lease.
Yeah.
Just lease a vehicle if you're going to be like that.
But that's nice because I only had the one car. So you've got backup if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
But I only had the one, and it's like, you know, I kind of need the rental car reimbursement. And it wasn't too much. I don't remember how much it was, but if it was expensive, I wouldn't have got it because I was broke.
Yeah, it was probably worth it anyway because you ended up using it. Usually insurance is just on that line of if you use it, you come out ahead, and if you don't use it, then they come out ahead.
Well, you got to look at the group, right? So it's me and you and everybody else all paying into this one big insurance pool saying, oh, if something happens to you, I'm helping you out.
Yeah.
It's kind of a really neat group concept when you look at the bigger picture and stop thinking about the fact that there's some dude making $7 million a year at the top of this corporation.
Yeah, it's a good concept. It just kind of ran away a little bit. The numbers with the amount of people that are involved and that are paying into the insurance, our premiums could be much cheaper, but the people at the top want their money.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, it's like...
It is what it is. They're probably going to die when they're 45 anyway from stress, so...
Fuck them. Bastards. I'll tell you what, if you're running a corporation, you're probably already in your 50s.
Yeah, yeah. So, my numbers might be a little off, but you get the point.
I'm just letting you know. I tell you what! Yeah, that's like looking up the charities. If you go on the websites that tell you how much of your money actually makes it downstream to the cause... It's like 2%, 7%, a good one's around 14%. So everybody's getting paid along the way.
Yeah, not for profit.
Can you say tax shelter?
Yeah.
Yeah, the company doesn't profit, but the people running the company get paid to run it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just make sure they come out dead even at the end of the year.
Well, we set a fair rate as decided by the people who run the company, which are also us. So we decide how much we get paid and we think it's fair.
All in favor of a raise, say aye.
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 Which is why we're starting a non-for-profit, and we call it Anything You Want, LLC. I know, that's not a non-for-profit. Yeah, it's a pretty janky world out there, but the insurance thing works pretty well. Because we got it all over the place, from life insurance to health insurance. That system might be broken.
Health insurance is pretty shit.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody's in each other's pockets, and it's not a good situation anymore.
Well, I think the biggest problem there is the doctors billing out. We were actually we touched on this yesterday with a dentist, and if you go to a doctor and tell them you're going to pay cash, they charge you significantly less than they charge the insurance company if you're going through insurance. Hold up a second, because that shit's still raising my premiums.
Yep.
You know, let's just think about this. You're making money hand over fist here, but I'm paying out the tookus for this shit.
Yeah, I went to the hospital when I first started working this job. I had insurance, but it wasn't, it didn't become active yet. I had to work for 90 days or something, and I got cut at work, and I called my doctor, and I had to find out about my tetanus shot, because I work in a shop with a bunch of rusty metals, and I got cut literally on rust. Like, it was not a moderately rusty piece of metal. It was rust that cut me. And I got all worried about tetanus. So I called, and it had been over 10 years since I got the shot, so I had to get it again. And I got all worried about it because I didn't have insurance to pay for it. It was like $150. But they had to pull out a book to figure out how much that shit was going to cost.
Wow.
They were like, yeah, usually this is just, you know, X amount. I forget the numbers, but they were like, normally it would be this, but can you grab that book? Because you don't have insurance. I don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
And I was, like, adamant that they let me know beforehand, which I don't know why, because if it was, like, $700, I would have been like, shit, fucking shoot me, because tetanus will kill you.
Yeah.
It's like a 30 or 40% chance of death.
Yep.
Even if they catch it.
You get that lockjaw.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
So it didn't really matter how much it cost, but I did want to know.
Yep. I had a skin irritation, and I went to the walk-in, like doctor's care they called it there in South Carolina, and they charged me almost nothing for the visit. And they said, okay, you don't have insurance, so we're not going to run any tests unless we tell you first. And I go, oh, so if I did have insurance, you're just going to build stuff out as you decide to. Okay. All right. Well, thanks for letting me know you're not going to rip me off because I'm poor. That's nice. And then I went to get the cream for the rash. And they're like, oh, this is going to be, what's it, $180 or something for this little tube of cream. And I went, oh, are you serious? And the pharmacy girl goes, yeah, I'm sorry. Do you have any coupons? I'm like, I don't have any coupons.
Cream coupons.
A coupon? Are you serious? So she pulls out this card and swipes it through. And she's like, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'll do it for you. And she swipes it through. $40.
Oh, my God.
Calculate that.
That's crazy.
That's like almost five times the cost that they're charging. Yeah. You know they're still profiting on this cream.
Yeah.
They're still profiting at
$40. With that coupon.
But if I had insurance and no coupon, they're going to just charge insurance $180 and I'm going to pay $30 or whatever it is.
And they got some deal worked out with that.
So every cent they're getting from insurance is just going straight in their pocket.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I got a funny story for you. When I was wrestling in high school, I got a rash on my arm, which is kind of, it's semi-normal in the wrestling community, that, you know, ringworm and things like that. But this was different because I went to the doctor and the doctor was like, I don't know what that is. So I got sent to a dermatologist and they did a bunch of tests and they were like, we don't know what that is. So they gave me this cream. They said, we're gonna fill out a prescription for way more than you're gonna need. They go, do not use all of this. They were like, but hold on to it, because this works on basically any skin irritation ever. So just hold on to it, and if you get a mosquito bite, put it on there.
They sold you magic.
It worked. I tried a bunch of stuff before that, because my normal physician, he gave me a few things, and they didn't work at all. And then, I was still wrestling, but I had to wrap myself up a lot, and people were not happy about that. You know?
Yeah.
And I couldn't wrestle at meets either, because you can't have a contagious rash and wrestle with people. So I was all worried about it, but this stuff worked in like 7 days or something, and then I still had way more than like half the tube left, and I just used it on random shit.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool. I don't remember what was in it, and it got lost in one of our moves.
Damn.
But if I had still had that, I would have given that to you for whatever your skin rash was, because I almost guarantee it would have worked.
Dude, I'll tell you, there's definitely magic. There is definitely magic.
Medicinal magic.
It is. Some of it's truly magic.
A lot of the medicine that we have could be negated with just diet changes, as we keep seeing more and more regularly.
Yeah, well, we're starting to figure it out, you know. I haven't actually looked at the numbers, the charts, the trends, but I've heard people saying repeatedly that since recent times, health's been declining.
Yeah.
You know, you go back and you look at the 50s, and I guess people weren't as heavy as often, but now you go to a Walmart and walk around, and I went to Walmart, not last night, but the two nights before that after work. So around 11:30, I'm going into Walmart.
On a weekday.
On a weekday.
Yeah.
The same dude, gray beard, 350, 400 pounds, sitting in the entranceway on one of those electric carts with his phone plugged into the wall, not going anywhere, not greeting anybody, not wearing a uniform.
Huh.
The same dude, two nights in a row, just sitting there.
Nothing better to do?
I don't know. My best guess is that his wife is working there, and they had one car or something.
Or he's waiting to pick her up.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a little, like, meh, I wonder. But I think I might go back tonight.
And see.
See if he's there.
Say what's up.
Dude, I should make friends with him.
Hey, what's up, fat ass?
How you doing? How you doing? What you eat?
Can you catch me?
Do you eat everything? Do you eat everything?
Yeah, you know what scares me is the childhood obesity.
Oh,
that really upsets me, because it's like, really, you can't tell your kid no. Like, you know what's healthy and what's not, and you're just letting them eat everything. And that's terrible. Like, starting your life out that bad is just, it's appalling to me.
Well, they don't know.
Maybe they don't know. That's why.
Yeah, I'm working with a woman who's a new mother, 2-3 months older kid.
Yeah.
And she's telling me, you know, I eat pretty healthy when I'm home. And the first thing on her list is Welch's fruit gummies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But that's all high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, it's gelatin and, well, I don't know how sugary those are.
No?
I don't know if they're that sugary.
I figured
they're
that's
not
what,
great.
I figured that's what made it, like, you know, taste and feel like candy.
I think it's gelatin,
oh,
mostly.
Okay.
But I don't know. I haven't looked at them, but when I was younger, I used to eat them a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember they weren't that bad, but they weren't. They're not great. Like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. They got sugar in them.
And the rest of the food she listed was actually. I mean, she makes a lot of her own stuff.
Yeah.
So I was fairly impressed, and you could tell because she and her husband are both. I mean, he weighs less than I do, and he's 6'2".
Yeah, but he's got something weird going on with his stomach. It, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't eat enough in general, or something like that.
I think it's anxiety. I think that a lot of the time when you see people who are otherwise perfectly fine with stomach issues, they're dealing with anxiety problems.
Yeah, because the gut and the mind go really closely together.
Really close.
I don't know if you get this, but I'm like severely affected by, my appetite is severely affected by my level of anxiety.
Without a doubt.
I could be in the middle of a meal and starving, and if someone says something like it, that causes nervousness for me, like, oh, hey, you're getting fired tomorrow, whatever it may be, I will stop eating. Like,
yep.
I won't be able to eat anymore.
Yep.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, I think that's, you look at yogic principles and chakras.
Yeah.
And you look at how they say that the energy flows through the body, and honest to goodness, there's something to it. I know it's kind of hippy dippy shit, but really, you start at that base level and you work up and you do your deep breathing, you're sitting still, your relaxation, because that's all meditation is. It's just relaxing.
Yeah.
And you do that consciously on purpose, you can work through a lot of that stuff. You really can.
Yeah. And it, you know, I don't know if you don't have to get into the hippy dippy stuff of the chakras and all that, but just pay attention to what they're talking about, like how you heal certain things, because we're finding out more and more that like your body communicates throughout. So your gut actually communicates with your brain.
Right.
It does. It sends signals to your brain, and the gut bacteria play a role in that. We're not sure how it happens, but it does happen. That's why some people say, oh, I have a sweet tooth. That's because you eat a lot of candy.
Yeah.
If you eat a lot of sugar, you're going to crave sugar. If you can stop eating sugar for long enough for that specific gut bacteria to die off because they're getting starved of sugar, you won't crave it as much anymore. It's that easy.
Yeah.
But people go for like a week without it. They're like, I don't know, nothing's happening. It's like, no, go a month, see what happens.
Yep.
And it's the same thing with your heart, too. Your heart will communicate with your brain. They recently found that out.
The heart actually has it has brain tissue within it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I can't remember now exactly what this stuff was called, but it has a mind of its own.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into it again, refresh on it. But it does some sort of base level thinking.
Yep.
And that's why it can beat without a signal.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you can be unconscious and still,
yep,
still breathe and have a heartbeat.
Yep.
But you know, it's funny, people have been saying forever, you know, think with your heart, or you know, make decisions with your heart and all that, and that turned into hippy dippy bullshit.
Yeah.
And now it's coming back around because science is finding out that the heart actually is having some sort of thought process going on.
It's a mind.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I talk about the chakras, because you're right, you don't need to get into that for it to work. But when you're trying to clear your mind, if you're a person who has never done so before, you kind of need something to think about.
Yeah.
So you got your in and out on breathing, which is good. And then I will actually visualize a flow of energy moving through my body in an ovular, an elliptical shape. And that helps me a lot. It gives me something to think about that's productive and focused on what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And it would actually get to the point where I could feel that there was resistance at certain points. So when I was having a stomach ache, I would feel the stomach ache, and my mind would associate that with like the image of the energy being blocked in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And I would breathe through it. And it was, you know, it was purely the breathing and the relaxation that was alleviating the stomach ache. but in my mind's eye, I could see the flow of energy returning. And that was a pretty cool feeling. I get tingles up and down my spine when I was doing that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
See, I've never thought about energy flowing through my body when meditating, but I have felt what I would consider like a buzzing sensation throughout my body. And I think it's probably similar to what you're talking about. I just never visualized anything like that, but probably somewhat the same feeling.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that means that I'm meditating or not. Like, I don't know if that means that it's working or if I'm just like thinking about so much stuff that my teeth start buzzing.
But, yep.
But it does feel very cool, and it gives you something to concentrate on, because they tell you to clear your mind when you meditate, but that's not, you can't really stop your mind from thinking about anything. Maybe if you're really good at meditating, the best you can do and the best way to start is to try to think about one thing and consistently think about one thing. And that's how you get into it.
That or, you know, clearing your mind. I don't think that ever happens, no matter how good you are at meditating. I'm not good enough to really know. But what they preach is allow the thoughts to come and go.
Yeah.
To move through you, and don't get attracted to any one thought. Don't get stuck on anything. You're going to have thoughts. I look at mind as a vessel, and it travels through thought space.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't ever really stop it, because even if you stop moving, thought space moves around you. So what you're doing is you're learning not to take any exits. You're just allowing yourself to travel that highway. And it's a pretty wild thing.
That's
you really
a good
dive
analogy.
Into it.
Stay on the highway.
Yep.
Don't take any exits.
And that's what I told you that last night. I was doing some really simple rhythmical work that my body's very used to doing, so my mind doesn't have to involve itself too much.
Uh-huh. That's a good way to disconnect.
I was meditating while I was working, just pumping parts out. I could have gone faster if I focused, but I didn't need to.
Yeah.
I was doing extra. 12-hour day, you're getting plenty from me, okay?
Yeah.
And wow, it was incredible. I was thinking about how science is kind of ridiculous. Don't get me wrong, I love it. I love human progress. But ultimately, all we're trying to do is figure out what we already know. We just won't believe that we know it yet.
Yeah. Yep, I've gotten there. The first job that I had was a CNC job. And so very repetitive. See, all the CNC machines are fully automated. So basically you put a part in there and then you push a button and the machine cuts some metal or does whatever it wants to do to it. And then you pull that part out and you put another one in and push the button.
Yep.
And I was doing that 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. And I started getting into that like meditative flow, because when you do it the same way every time, it kind of eliminates your body and it separates your body and your mind a little bit. And your mind starts to flow. I started thinking about the weirdest things, man, when I would do that. I ended up coming up with subjects. Outside of work, I would try to think about things to think about when I went to work.
Yeah.
Like, give myself an idea of where to go with my thoughts that day, because otherwise it was just going down paths I was not okay with.
I had that last night, and it's part of the training process, truly, when you're learning to meditate and you're allowing your mind to do its own work. Inevitably, you travel down some dark pathways. Oh, if there's enough of that, I'm going to need some too.
Alright.
You allow your mind to travel. It's going to go down paths you don't want it to go down. And this is a lot of what anxiety is not having any way to control that. And you just keep going, man. That's my only real suggestion. Your thoughts aren't going to hurt you unless you act on them.
Yeah,
well, that's the big thing.
At the time of this job, I wasn't in the best place either. So
right.
That wasn't helping anything. I was going down paths I wasn't comfortable with. And instead of saying, shit, let's find out what's down there, I was just like, eh, let's turn around. And that wasn't the right way to go about handling them, but it was the way I handled them.
Yeah. Well, it's hard in the if you'll allow me the latitude, fourth dimension is what I consider thought, because it exists outside of time.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's no physical properties to it.
It's the next thing, but it's connected here. So we got these three and then that fourth.
Yeah.
Right? And it's actually probably its own set of three, but that's another topic. But to pull a U-turn in a space with no physical dimensionality, it's kind of difficult.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's something I'm actually decent at. When people lose track of the conversation, I'm the guy saying, no, these are the last five things we talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're back on track, right? But it sucks. Just keep moving forward. Let's not worry about, if you forgot, there's a reason you forgot. Because your mind went, oh, this is better.
Yeah.
You know, if something, you listen to a genius who's really got one thought they're going to hold on to forever. They talk about it with such passion. You don't need to remind them. They're not going to forget it because it's that important, and they will bring it forth into reality, you know?
But where it does come in handy is when you get people who have some sort of like ADD or ADHD, and they can have really good thoughts, but they jump from thought to thought so quickly that they don't get anything important out in time.
Yep.
And if you can get them to travel down one rail for a little while, man, they go deep, and it's pretty cool where they go.
It's also how you make a friend real fast. Yeah. 'Cause they go, oh, you can help me do this. Yeah. I like that feeling.
On a subconscious level, they're like, wow, I just thought some things through. Like, what the hell was that?
Yep. And you come into contact with this enough, and you become aware enough of yourself, you can speak directly to people's subconscious. So a lot of times, if I'm really in my zone, when I greet people, hey, how you doing? I'm thinking it as I'm saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And that thought process is me legitimately wondering how you're doing. And that's sincerity. You know, the alignment of your actions and your thoughts. And people love that. So that's what I consider communicating straight to the subconscious. Because we're all aware of what's sincere and what's insincere.
Yeah.
Most people aren't aware of why it is.
That's very interesting.
Yep.
I do things like that, but not on the... I mess with people's subconscious, but with the physical world.
Yeah.
So working in a shop, you get those, I'm sure everybody's dealt with this, but I deal with it more in a shop, walking down hallways and stuff, where two people will be walking at each other and they like walk into each other almost, even though they've had 100 feet to figure out who's going right and who's going left.
Yes.
And I figured out pretty early on, if you look in the direction you're going to go, you don't have to step in the direction that you're going to go. But if you look in that direction, the person goes in the other direction.
Yes.
It's such a... And that's just a small example of like how I mess with someone's subconscious.
Yep.
And it's so funny how well it works, because you actually... If you do that, you don't have to alter your path at all. They will alter their path.
Yep.
They subconsciously realize which direction I'm going to go, and then they go the other way.
I take a different approach to this because it's more fun. I will do this.
Just walk straight at them.
I walk straight at them, bring my eyes right to theirs so they're completely aware that I'm right in front of them. Do the fake left, fake right, fake left, go right. And I do the shuffle. It's just a shuffle back and forth. And then I go, ah, we're dancing now. And I walk right past them. And they never had to do anything. They just keep walking straight. And the whole time they're staring at me. I don't think I'm messing with their subconscious. I'm just being a goof.
I think you're being weird. Yeah,
yeah, just being
a
goof.
That's a weirdo kind of thing.
It's fun, though. It is. It's definitely fun. I like to play with pace and time. So there was a workout. This was a while back now. Maybe 2 years. With a friend of ours, Nikki G. Shout out to Nikki G, the man. We went to Planet Fitness in Turton, Connecticut. And if you know what it is, you know what it is. Because this is tiny little Planet Fitness. We were on the elliptical machines. And we set our minds, 15 minutes, we're doing this cardio. We're going to blast it out, and it's going to suck. And I thought to myself, I wonder if I can focus in on the workout enough to avoid the time. Because if you kind of float in the middle... Time takes forever, but if you focus on something, you lose your track of it, and it flies, right? So I did. I focused in on the workout, and I consciously made the concept of a bubble in my head and enveloped Nikki G in that bubble. When it was over, he looks up at me and goes, dude, that felt like nothing. So what do you mean? He goes, the time just flew. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm like, I don't know what you mean, Nikki G. What do you mean? He goes, man, that was a long workout, but it felt like just 2 minutes. It felt like nothing. And that's pace, man. You can, yeah. I can do that at work too. I work with a chatty Kathy, and she'll get to talking, and I'll join her on that level, and then I'll slowly stop responding to her as fast and focus more on the work, and we can kind of focus for like an hour before before I have to pull her back again.
That's a cool way to do that.
Yep, you just pace it in slow and easy.
I've noticed that with workouts too, though. I'll actually in work too. I do the same thing, but if I try to go for like a light jog for 20 minutes, oh my God, does it suck.
Mm.
But if I try to blast out a run as fast as I possibly can for 20 minutes, it goes by so much faster. Because all of a sudden I'm concentrating on just getting air into my body and keeping moving. And, you know, like there's other things to think about other than the time.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with work. A lot of people try to avoid doing work when they're on the clock because they think they're somehow getting ahead. Like, ooh, I did less and I got paid the same.
Yep.
But your night will be so slow if you do your best to do nothing. It takes more effort to do nothing at work than it does to just stay busy.
Yeah.
Like last night, I was busy as hell last night, and it was actually a great night because I wasn't behind the eight ball. Nobody was watching me, but I stayed busy all night. I had work to do. I had so much work to do that I was positive it wasn't going to be finished by the end of the night. So just plug away until it's time to go home. That's how you do it.
That's for sure.
And my night flew by.
Yep.
And that's what I prefer to do. I always try to line up enough stuff that I'm not worried about finishing it.
It's goal setting. You know, that's when I'm running, if it's starting to suck, I tell myself, so we're running 2 miles. I visualize, I know what that 2 miles looks like. I know where the finish point is. But I tell myself, now today you're going to have to run 4. And you're going to keep running past your goal, go another mile and turn around and come back. And for whatever reason, my lazy ass being told that it's going to have to do extra goes, well, I guess I can handle these first 2 miles and the suck will be those last two. And it's like, wait, how far could I actually run if I could shut this shit out? But I just don't have control of it yet.
Running is very, it's crazy like that. When I first started doing the training for the road race in Connecticut, the Litchfield Hills Road Race, it's a 7 mile race. And I had only ever run maybe 3 miles total before that. And I wasn't sure if I could even make it 7 miles. So I set out and I just tried to do it. And what I found out pretty quickly was after probably about 3 runs, I could run 7 miles almost as fast I could run 7 miles almost as fast as I could run 3 miles in like how many minutes per mile platform.
Your pace.
Yeah, my pace was almost the same. So maybe I could run 3 miles at 7.5 minutes and be dead at the end of it. I was only doing 8.5 minute miles for 7 miles straight. And the only thing that changes is that for a longer period of time, you go, fuck, this sucks. And that's it. It's like your body, if your body can keep getting the oxygen in, you can keep running.
Yeah.
That's where you find your stride in running.
I can't remember exactly how the story went, but do you know where we get the term marathon from?
There was a guy in
Greece.
No, Athens.
Greece.
Greece. Oh, yeah.
Athens is a Greek city. Yep, yep.
He ran, but he ran from like Sparta to Athens or Athens to Sparta, one or the other.
Some battle, I think.
There
right?
was a battle.
He was a warrior.
Everybody died except him, and he ran to go tell the neighboring city that they were coming to get him. So he ran 25 miles.
28?
25.2.
You sure?
Yeah.
I thought it was 28 for a marathon.
Pretty sure a marathon's 25.2 miles.
We're splitting hairs anyway.
Doesn't
I'll trust you on that.
Yeah. This could just be folklore anyway.
It might be.
I don't know if it's true or not, but the story is that he ran 25 miles and notified the neighboring city and then died on the spot.
Drop dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now people run ultra marathons of like 120 miles
or
200.
Whenever they told me this in high school and they said, you know, this is where marathon comes from, and then he dropped dead, I'm like, who the hell is ever going to run a marathon if the inevitable finish line is death?
Right? The goal is to die at the end? Really?
What was wrong with this fella? Because you're right, ultra marathons, you look at these people doing 250 miles through the desert, up and down hills.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I think you can run 25 miles. I think it's possible. You don't have to die.
Yeah.
What did he do wrong?
Yeah, right? That's where that story comes into play. But you know, these ultra marathoners are nuts, man. They do like par for the course is like pissing blood afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're doing real damage to your body just to say that you're mentally strong enough to do it. And it's like that's like on the border of mutilation as far as I'm concerned. Like you might as well go cut your back with a sword or something. And
yeah.
You know, it's faster anyway.
It's faster. the one guy I haven't listened to many ultra marathoners talk, but through the Joe Rogan Experience, Cameron Haynes.
Yeah.
And he does those ultra marathons because he wants his training to suck more than his hunting. So he does these crazy bow hunting trips. And the whole premise is that even though it's going to suck, he wants it to be fun. So he trains most of the year harder than he's going to have to work to go hunting. So most of his time sucks more than the time that sucks that he wants to be fun.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a theory of relativity kind of thing right there.
For sure.
You know, if you make something more difficult, then... So it's like when I worked 12-hour days, it sucked. I hated it. It was too long. Nobody wants to work that long. But what I did to negate that was when I came home, even though I was tired, I forced myself to go to the gym. And I would work out like a bastard there. Just get the rest of my energy out. I would be dog tired going into it. And then I'd just find more energy while I'm there. And embracing the suck of the workout made working seem easier.
Mm.
Because at least my muscles don't hurt. At least I'm not breathing hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And that was how I got through that. And I carry that through with me today, even though I don't work 12-hour days anymore. I can make work seem so easy just by thinking, you know, at least I'm not running. I'm not even out of breath.
Yeah.
How hard is this? It's not that hard.
Yep.
I just got to stand around. Like, I'm using my limbs in a very easy way. It's not difficult.
I do this all the time with work, and I tell people, this job does not suck. And people will complain. The last job I was at, selling shoes. We moved boxes. We talked to customers. That was it.
Yeah.
Shoe boxes, people. I'm not talking about moving 50-pound boxes. No team lifting.
Yep.
No, shoe boxes.
Yeah.
You know, this job sucks. I hate this job. Well, you might not be making a lot of money, but I've done jobs that suck.
Yeah.
You know, and actually the most physically demanding job, which would be what most people consider suck, that I ever did was my first job, landscaping.
Yeah.
And I would break my back moving stones and raking leaves. And raking leaves sounds easy until you do it for 6 hours straight.
Yep.
And it gets pretty tough after that. And I loved that job. I loved that job. I did not hate that job. And from that point forward, the next job that sucked was my second job, AT&T, doing cable installs. Wow. Snow, summer, during the spring and fall, it was not too bad. But when you're freezing cold and you can barely feel your fingers and you have to use tools, it hurts. And when you're sweating so profusely that you're drinking gallons of water in a day and not urinating, that sucks too.
Yeah.
Those two jobs were terrible, but they were fun. So now I listen to people complain about work and I just laugh. And you're not sweating. You're not breathing hard. You're not struggling. You're making money. What's your problem?
Yeah.
You know?
What's so difficult? Why does this suck? Because it's boring?
Because
that's the worst part of this job. It's boring.
You'd rather be eating ice cream and watching TV.
Yeah.
That's why it sucks.
There is lots of stuff I would rather do than work, but as far as work goes, this is not hard.
I'll tell you what. I've done my fair share of eating ice cream and watching TV, and I'd rather be at work.
Yeah.
I really would.
I'd rather be making money than doing that, too.
And these people who are complaining about it aren't looking at the bigger picture. When I go into work... Right now, I'm making car parts, and I don't know how much I can actually tell you because I vowed a swear of silence and confidentiality agreement. I make car parts. I'm building Honda parts right now.
Thermal acoustical
insulations.
Insulations, yeah. So basically all the stuff that you don't see in a vehicle that makes it quiet and cool.
Quiet and cool. And I'm building parts for Hondas, and every single time I staple a part together, I go, yep, I just did something for society.
Yeah.
You know, and it's true, because the shoe thing, a monkey could do that.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing here, it takes a little bit of skill, not a lot, but to do it at a good rate and consistent, it takes a little bit of skill, and I feel good about doing it.
Yeah.
And that's really all I need to drive me at this point. You know?
Yep. But you know what's funny is, since I started working this job, you know how, like, you get a car and you wonder, I don't know if any of you guys work on cars at all, but if you've ever taken something apart and you go, who's the dumbass who did that? Now we know, because we work in those shops, and there are some dumbasses that do that.
Yes. And yes.
It totally makes sense now. Now when I work on a car and I see something, I go, oh, that dumb motherfucker, and then I fix it.
I'll tell you what, too. You look at your any part that you pull off your car, you own a Volkswagen. You go, oh, it's got the VW stamp on it. That must mean Volkswagen made it. No.
Yeah.
No. I've got VW stamps, Honda stamps, Ford stamps, Chevy stamps. They're all right here. You can just take it and bang it into a piece of metal, and now that belongs to Volkswagen.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another one, too. We had some parts come off the line one time where the stamp broke.
Mm.
Nobody noticed for about 100 parts. And they had to draw those parts. They had to draw the stamp into those parts after they were made. So hand-drawn was GM.
Nice.
And that kind of thing on there. So imagine getting one of those parts on your car and seeing that.
I'm thinking about getting a punch. Have you ever seen the... you probably haven't. I do my initials because it's an LT and an F.
Yeah.
So I do it all in this one little... It all combines together. It's just a bunch of 90 degrees.
Yeah. I think our dad does that too.
It's pretty much what he does.
Yeah.
Yep. So I want to get that turned into a punch. And I'm just going to start punching it into like 1 out of 10 of the parts I make. Bang.
Eventually you'll get one.
Exactly. So the next time I see somebody I know driving a 2018, 2019 Honda, I'm a check. I made that. That was me.
Nice.
That. I would get that replaced.
Yeah. I could make you one of those punches.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I think so. I would need a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You have to draw it out for me.
It's pretty simple.
But I could make one and then, I could harden it. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
That'd be a good little project if I ever get free time.
Well, first things first, I need the magazine
there. Oh, yeah. We got to measure your thing. I can make it. I just need the numbers.
Yeah.
And then,
we keep saying that and keep forgetting.
Yep.
But we'll,
totally.
We'll caliper that
Will
out.
We remember today?
I think.
That's the question.
Since it just came up and I don't have much longer, we probably will remember.
We do. We have all weekend, though, because I am not going to work tomorrow.
Yeah, but if we say that, then we forget.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Today.
So,
we're going to do it today.
Cool. Yep. Yeah. And then write the number down. That's important.
Also helpful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I'll probably forget that.
Yeah, it's just three little numbers. They go floating away.
Plus or minus, you know.
Yep.
All right, you want to wrap this up?
Yeah, I got to go embrace my suck.
Embrace the suck.
Coming off 12 hours, going in for 8. I'd be doing 12 again tonight, but it's taco night.
Yeah.
So, fuck them. They're only getting 8 from me.
But you're getting double time tomorrow, so that's the 12 right there.
Yeah, it's true. That's the way to go. It sets me behind for next week.
Yeah.
But maybe not. I'll be able to do 2
12s. Every day's
in a
Monday.
It's
all Monday.
This is day what? This is day 12 in a row now.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm just ignoring it. I'm not counting.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a weekend.
Yeah. What's a weekend?
Yeah.
You don't need that.
No, it's... I started on a Monday, so 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep. He does the math more than me.
Yeah.
Y'all have a good day now.